with your host, Jerry Stearns. Good evening, or if you're listening to this by way of the archives the next morning while doing your exercises, then good morning. Either way, I'm Jerry Stearns, and this is Sound Effects. And tonight we're finishing off a play we began just barely last week. It's called The Bug by Richard Strand. And all the descriptions I can find say the same thing. They say, combine Kafka's eerie vision with a soulless world run by computers, and the result is this comic nightmare of a play. Well, it's about Dennis, who thinks he's being transferred to St. Louis, and he doesn't want to go. So he goes up to the office to find out what he can and talk to somebody about it. And the reason he says he didn't go through his supervisor is because he's never seen him in 3 years. And what we'll find is that the title of this play does not refer to a creepy crawly. It refers to a bug in the system. So this is the conclusion of The Bug by Richard Strand.
I don't know that we should be making a big deal out of the fact that nobody has seen or heard this guy in 3 years.
3 years? Mr. Post, Dennis, do you have any idea what you're suggesting here?
I'm just suggesting that I would be a happier guy if somebody other than me got shipped to St. Louis.
You are suggesting that we have a $54,000 a year middle manager who hasn't come to work in 3 years.
$54,000 a year? That position pays $54,000 a year? Listen, do you think I could apply for that job? Maybe Cochran would like to go to St. Louis. I really think I could handle it, really. I could even come to work if you want.
Dennis, no one is going to St. Louis. But I gotta tell you, what you've just told me about Cochran is really disturbing. Don't you find it disturbing?
Look, I'm sure Cochran is around, somewhere. We just don't know where.
Well, he must be in the computer. Cochran, Douglas. Cochran, Douglas, there he is.
Well, then I guess everything's okay.
Paid twice a month. At a rate of $2,250.69. But if he never comes to work, how does he pick up his check?
No one is saying that Cochran doesn't deserve every cent he's paid.
Direct deposit to Madison National Bank, of course! Direct deposit!
An option for which we are all grateful, although personally I've never taken advantage of it. But I'll suffocate if I have to live in St. Louis. Really, it'll kill me.
Will you stop saying that? You're not going to St. Louis. Nobody is going to St. Louis.
But what about the 16 office modules? What are they going to do about having 17 assemblers and only 16 office modules?
How do I know?
Well, don't yell at me.
I'm sorry I yelled. I'm sorry, David. Sorry, Kim. Now we've disturbed my office mates. Look, Dennis, I can think of a lot of ways they might take care of that problem, you know.
What do you mean? Have you heard something?
All I'm saying is that sending someone to St. Louis is not the only way of taking care of an overcrowded assembly area. Now, can you just sit quietly for a sec? I'm trying to find out what the story is with this Cochran guy.
I just want to steer clear of St. Louis.
You're not going to St. Louis. You're not going to St. Louis. You're not going to St. Louis! Goodness. Stay here. I want you to stay here for just a sec, until I figure out where Cochran is.
Sending someone to St. Louis. Is that the only way of taking care of an overcrowded assembly area? Sure, there are other ways. Like what?
Here it is. Started working 5 years ago. MS from the University of Michigan. BS from Ohio University. Married, 2 kids.
My God! They're gonna fire me!
Will you give me 2 seconds to figure out what's going on?
That's it, isn't it? They're gonna fire me. You don't want to tell me because you don't want to hurt my feelings. But you're reading that on your monitor right now. Post, comma, Dennis, colon, terminate.
Oh, Dennis, please just shut up a second, will you?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, God.
Well, this is stupid. I'll just call him. Cochran, Douglas should be at extension 274.
Hello, Kimberly Miles.
Kim?
Linda? Linda, I'm sitting right next to you. Why are you playing with the telephone?
I'll call you back. Dennis, would you mind telling Kimberly, Miss Miles, the same thing you just told me?
I just want to keep my job.
Look, Dennis, you've pointed out a sort of, well, a bug in our system. This is very upsetting, really, for all of us, you included. For example, you're worried that you're going to be shipped to St. Louis. But the only one who can transfer you is Mr. Cockrum, and we don't know where he is. Now, I just want you to talk with Miss Miles about the same things that you just told me, so we can confirm that you're not going to be transferred to St. Louis, which you're not. Only it would be nice if we could confirm that with somebody in the real world. So will you talk with Miss Miles?
Sure, anything. Just don't fire me.
Nobody is firing anybody. Just wait here. Just wait here. Kim, can you talk to this guy for a second?
I'm on lunch.
I know, only,
Linda, what's the matter? You look sick.
Do you know Douglas Cockrum?
Sure, he's the supervisor in assembly.
No, I mean, have you ever met him?
Oh, no, I don't go down to assembly. It's pretty gross down there.
I really think you ought to talk to this guy. I don't know what's going on, but something's not right.
Is that Douglas Cockrum?
No, his name is Dennis Post. Could you just talk to him, please?
I'm on lunch.
Please?
Mr. Post?
Yo, here.
Would you mind stepping over to my desk a moment?
But the carpet? I'm not supposed to walk on the carpet.
Please.
Right, on my way. Ah, Linda, I knocked your papers over. I'm so sorry. I can be so clumsy at times.
Just leave them. I'll get them later.
Thanks, Linda, but I'll get them. This was my accident. I'm so sorry.
Stop it. Just leave them alone.
I'm sorry.
Just sit down at Miss Miles' desk.
Linda, is everything okay?
Yes, David, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, an accident. I knocked over her papers. It was nothing, an accident.
It's fine, really.
I'm going to lunch, Linda. Handle it.
Maybe I ought to leave, huh?
No, I want you to talk to Miss Miles.
Okay, but listen, I'm so sorry about this.
Please sit over by Miss Miles now.
Okay.
Now then, what is the problem?
Tell her.
Nothing, no problem.
Tell her what you told me.
Hi, my name is Dennis Post, and your name is Kimberly. Nice name. Listen, Kimberly, the thing is, I thought you were going to ship me to St. Louis, but I guess I was wrong about that, because Linda here says it's just not in the computer. Only now it looks to me like maybe they're planning to fire me, and I really can't afford to lose my job right now. I mean, you can only go to the First National Bank of Mom so many times for a loan before your credit rating goes flat. So listen, if keeping my job means moving to St. Louis, well, meet me in St. Louis. Only don't fire me. Please don't fire me. God, please don't fire me.
Why am I talking to this man?
Tell her what you told me about Douglas Cockrum.
Nice man, heck of a guy. We all like him a lot.
Tell her.
Honestly, I didn't expect everybody to make such a big deal out of this. I'll go to St. Louis. Really, I want to go to St. Louis.
He told me that no one in assembly has ever seen Douglas Cockrum.
Oh, boy, now I'm in it. I'd really rather we just let the whole thing drop.
What are you saying? Are you saying that Mr. Cockrum has been taking unauthorized days off?
Years. He said no one has seen him in 3 years.
There's probably a darn good explanation for this.
That's ridiculous. How can a man be on the payroll for 3 years without ever coming to work?
You know, she's right. It's ridiculous. I probably just made the whole thing up. So I'll be in bright and early Monday morning. Just tell me what city I should report to.
His paycheck is direct deposited. When you dial his extension, it rings your phone. Now, I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure that something about this is not right.
And I'm sure you guys can straighten it out without any more help from me. In fact, could you just sort of forget I ever came up here? I don't want to get a reputation for being the pipeline to the top.
Well, obviously, somebody must have seen the man in 3 years. Who do you get your instructions from, Mr. Post?
Drafting.
Who inspects your work?
Engineering.
I was asking him.
Oh, no, she's doing fine.
Well, I'll just call Cockrum's manager. Christy Kerr, please. Mrs. Kerr, this is Kimberly Miles in administration. I'm having a little trouble locating an employee of yours. Mr. Douglas Cockrum in assembly. But he works for you. I see. And how long has it been since you last saw Mr. Cockrum? Well, how long have you been working for us? And in all that time, it never occurred to you that someone else might be interested in knowing that there was an employee missing? How does assembly operate without a supervisor? I see. Well, thank you, Mrs. Kerr. Mrs. Kerr tells me that you fellows at assembly seem to do pretty well on your own.
Well, we try. So guess I better get back to work.
Mr. Post?
Yes?
If you have no supervisor, who did you think was going to fire you?
For that matter, who hired you?
Personnel.
Oh, I am sick of these responses. You can't talk to personnel. Personnel isn't a person, it's a department. You don't get your instructions from a department. You don't get hired by a department. A person, a living, discrete, individual organism has to hire you. You were interviewed before you were hired, weren't you?
Grilled, actually.
But by a person, not a department, but a person, right?
Right.
So who was it that interviewed you?
Some gal in personnel.
Mr. Post, do you recall this gal's name?
I sure don't. I just remember she really put me through it. What makes you think you're Jericho material? Do you think you can fit in with the Jericho system? What special qualities do you have that make you suitable for the Jericho team? I mean, who are we kidding? What is the Jericho team? Are we gonna have a little inner corporate basketball?
What did she look like?
This was a long time ago, you know, but she had kind of short hair, pretty, wore glasses, few freckles. As a matter of fact, she looked like you.
Me?
She looked exactly like you.
Well, Kim, you used to work in personnel, didn't you?
My God, it was you, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Listen, that interview wasn't really so bad. Yeah, I exaggerate. You were just doing your job. I really wasn't mad or anything. And I am proud to be part of the Jericho team.
Mr. Post, how did you come to apply for a job with Jericho in the first place?
I wanted to be part of the Jericho team.
No! This is not an interview. I merely want to find out what brought you to Jericho. How did you hear about us?
There was an ad in the Trib. Send your resume to some post office box or another for an opportunity to join the nation's fastest growing and most exciting industry, factory automation. So I did. Then I got a letter from personnel requesting that I come in for an interview. That's when you and I first met. I've always remembered that day fondly.
But you just sent your resume to a post office box? There was no one's name that you sent it to?
Oh, no, there was a name. Douglas Cockrum. I sent it to Douglas Cockrum.
He sends a resume to Douglas Cockrum. Cockrum sends a written request to personnel. Personnel conducts a screening interview and judges him to be acceptable. And I get the notice to put him on payroll. He gets hired and never meets the man who hired him. That could happen. That could work.
It does work. It works great. No complaints here. So probably we can just forget I ever brought this silly thing up, right? So what if you can't find Cockrum? I really think we're making a big deal out of nothing much.
Well, who hired Cockrum? Whoever hired Cockrum must have seen him.
Sure, that should be on file. Okay, now Cockrum, Douglas. And there we have his file. First communication, resume submitted, resume approved by KTM. Who's KTM?
I am.
You hired him?
Well, I guess I checked out his references and credentials. He checked out okay, so I approved him. Someone else must have interviewed him.
Sure. Interview conducted by MK. Who's MK?
The president of the company.
Mark Kropp. Why would Mr. Kropp be interviewing a low-level supervisor?
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure he must know what he's doing. So, glad I could help to clarify all this. Probably time I got back to work.
Stay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what would you have done in order to check his credentials?
I would have called the University of Michigan to see if they had a record of a Douglas Cockrum.
At this number?
Yes.
May I speak with... what did you say? Holiday? You mean like Holiday Inn? Is this area code 734-555-8795? Ann Arbor, Michigan? Thank you. Kimberly, this phone number is for the Holiday Inn in Ann Arbor.
The Holiday Inn?
The one on the east side. She says there are two in Ann Arbor.
But I called that number. I talked to records. I must have.
You know what probably happened? Probably you called that number. They answered Holiday, which you didn't even hear because nobody listens to receptionists. And so you asked for extension 247. She connected you with room 247, which could have been occupied by anyone. Maybe even Mr. Cockrum himself. So Cockrum picks up the phone, says records, and you proceed to ask for information about Douglas Cockrum. And he tells you that Douglas Cockrum is a great guy and we ought to hire him. And so you approve and we hire him. Now that could happen. That could work.
And really, where's the harm?
In a way, it's kind of funny.
I don't think it's funny.
I just meant in a way.
I think it's sick. I think it's appalling. I think it's disgusting. I think it's perverse.
Perverse? Are we talking about the same thing?
Mr. Post, didn't it ever occur to you that you had a responsibility to the company to report the fact that your supervisor was neglecting his duties?
How do I know what his duties are?
Well, you could assume that one of his duties was showing up to work.
How do I know that? I'm not management. You want to know the truth? There's more than a couple things you guys do that don't make a whole lot of sense to me. If I went around reporting it every time you guys made a decision I thought was dumb, I wouldn't have any time left for hooking wires together, and that's a fact.
But don't you think it's the responsibility of every employee of this company to come to work?
Well, that sounds like a good arrangement to me. But like I say, I ain't management. Nobody's asked me. I mean, just what did you expect me to do about it? Was I supposed to file a formal complaint?
An employee report. We do have employee report forms available. Linda, I can handle this from here.
Oh, but I could...
I'll let you know if we need any more help.
Yes, Kim.
Linda?
Yes?
Go down to assembly and see if you can find Mr. Cockrum.
Oh, he's not there.
Just the same. Why don't you check that out?
Yes, Miss Miles.
Do you have any idea how embarrassing this is for me?
No, actually. What is it you find embarrassing?
I approved a man's resume based on a recommendation from the Holiday Inn.
Wow! Can you imagine that? Should that surprise me? I want to make sure I'm responding appropriately.
And you! You should have reported him your first day of work.
Me? What about all those other guys? I haven't seen him in 3 years.
They should have reported it, too.
And what about you guys? Don't you ever check on your employees?
Of course we do. We get evaluations on every single employee from... Wait a minute. Employee evaluations. Cockrum is responsible for sending us employee evaluations every 6 months. I should have a record. Assembly. There it is. Employee evaluations. Uh-huh. Here they are. How is it possible every 6 months employee evaluations for 16 employees all filed by Douglas Cockrum?
And you thought he was neglecting his duties.
Mr. Post, would you like to hear what he has to say about you?
Well, that's against company policy, isn't it? I'm not supposed to hear my own...
Mr. Post's work is generally acceptable, although well short of outstanding.
Well... Acceptable's pretty good, isn't it? It's like a C.
He has a tendency to be insubordinate, although his lack of initiative makes it unlikely that he would ever be a serious threat.
What kind of crack is that? I can be just as much of a threat as anybody.
For the most part, he is reliable and valuable to the company.
There, see?
He is congenial and well-liked.
Yeah, everybody likes me.
However, his grooming and his peculiar taste in clothing make it impossible to consider him for any field assignments.
What's wrong with my taste in clothing?
He says it's peculiar.
Well, for crying out loud, I work in assembly, not fashion. Am I supposed to wear a tux to work? It's not the cleanest place in the world down there, you know.
I'm just reading you what Mr. Cockrum wrote.
Well, that lousy rat probably had a darn good reason for saying that. Listen, there wasn't anything in there about firing me or shipping me to St. Louis, was there?
Don't you understand? He just made all this up! He doesn't know if you're insubordinate or reliable or well-liked or anything else. He just made up a bunch of meaningless details so as not to attract any attention to himself. He's never seen you. He says you're reliable but insubordinate. Who isn't at times? He says you're well-liked. Well, who's going to say you aren't? He says you have peculiar taste in clothing, which could easily be a lucky guess on his part. What Mr. Cockrum is doing is a threat to this company, and he needs to be stopped.
What are you yelling at me for? I'm not the one who hired him.
Mr. Post, why have you come up here?
I was afraid I was going to lose my job.
And do you wish to keep your job?
Yes, I want to keep my job.
I see. And do you also wish to file a report about your supervisor?
File a report? You mean, do I want to make a complaint?
They are not complaints. We do not complain at Jericho. They are reports. Do you wish to file a report?
Is that how it is? In order to keep my job, I have to turn Cockrum in?
Mr. Post, you came up here for help. Now, as it turns out, it is my job to review employee reports. But unless you wish to file an employee report, I do not know how I can help you.
What kind of a position is that to put me in? How can I betray my supervisor? It's the McCarthy hearings all over again. Never mind who gets hurt. Never mind what lives you destroy. Turn friend against friend, brother against brother, employee against employer. You're going to put me on the stand, and I'm going to spill my guts because I'm a spineless, self-interested sycophant. That's what I am. I'll do anything to keep my job, and you know it. How can I do this to a man who called me congenial and well-liked? A man who said that my work was generally acceptable.
A man who said you had peculiar taste in clothing, don't forget.
All right. I'll do it. God forgive me, I'll do it.
Really, you're making too much out of this. McCarthy hearings, honestly. We don't go on witch hunts. This is just a report. As such, it will be evaluated along with other reports. That way, a fair decision can be reached. We are not interested in culling out communists. We are merely interested in evaluating our staff. Do you understand the difference?
Is it real important that I understand?
Yes.
Okay, then. I understand.
Fine. Please sit down over here.
What?
Sit.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, then. Your name?
What?
I said, your name?
You know my name.
Mr. Post, if you are going to file a report, then I need to have you tell me your name. An efficient operation does not take shortcuts. Now, will you please tell me your full, formal name?
Susan McDougal.
Would you like to forget the whole thing?
Why is my name going to be on this thing? Can't I file this anonymously?
No.
Dennis Post.
What department do you work in?
Oh, for Pete's sake, we just went over this. Assembly.
The name of the employee you wish to report on?
Douglas Cockrum.
His department?
Oh, when you go by the numbers, you go by the numbers, don't you? Assembly.
The nature of your complaint?
Report. We don't make complaints at Jericho. We report.
Very well. The nature of your report?
Yeah. I want to report that Cockrum hasn't been to work in 3 years. Okay. You happy? Probably ruin this man's life. His wife will probably leave him and then he'll commit suicide. His kids will grow up without a father figure and become unemployable substance abusers. You feel good about that?
Is that all?
All? We just killed the guy. What more do you want?
I am merely asking if there is anything else you would like to report.
Yeah, sure. Look, he's a communist, too. And his work is generally acceptable, only he dresses funny. He mixes plaids and wears white in the winter and buys penny loafers and punches holes in them so that people will think he's wearing wingtips. I say we fire the bum.
Mr. Post, when you make whimsical statements like that, it casts doubt on everything you say. We don't know when to trust you. Is that what you want? Do you want to cast doubt on everything you have told us? I said, do you want to cast doubt on... Mr. Post, is there any truth to anything you have told us?
Yes, absolutely. I really don't want to go to St. Louis. That's the God's honest truth.
Do you like your job here?
What?
Do you like your job here?
Look, I know you're someone who likes to go by the numbers. So would you mind telling me, what number are you on?
It will be my job to evaluate this report you have just given me. Part of my evaluation will be to consider the credibility of the man who made the report. Sometimes people make reports because they have an axe to grind. Sometimes there is a personal problem. Sometimes employees are just destructive by nature. They intentionally put bugs in the system. They are not team players. I'm wondering about you now, Mr. Post. Are you a team player or one of those people who puts bugs in the system? And so the question is, do you like your job here at Jericho?
Do you have any idea what my job is? I look at diagrams that show me where there are supposed to be wires. Then I put the wires where they're supposed to be. And that's about all there is to it. It amazes me, in fact, that a company that specializes in factory automation hasn't figured out a way to automate my job. So what's the question? Do I like my job? What's not to like? On the other hand, what's to like? It's okay, you know, I can't think of any other job I'd really want. Except one, maybe.
Oh, and what's that?
I think I'd like Cockrum's job. Will you let me know if that opens up?
I cannot imagine why you seem to envy a man who has not come to work in 3 years. It seems to me that what he has done to Jericho amounts to fraud. Do you admire fraud?
I don't know how you can say that. No one even noticed he wasn't here for 3 years. Seems to me what he did for Jericho amounts to automation.
I will pass on your report.
Do I keep my job?
I will pass on your report.
Do I keep my job?
All I can do is pass on your report. I guess I know of no reason why you can't keep your job. But I have to tell you, I am appalled by the general lack of ethical standards that seems to run rampant in our assembly area.
What? You're going to talk to me about ethical standards? An office that keeps a $400,000 slush fund has the gall to talk to me about ethical standards?
What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
What did you say?
It was nothing. I was babbling. Garbage comes out of my mouth. What do you expect from a guy with peculiar taste in clothing and no ethical standards?
You said slush fund.
$400,000 slush fund. But how would I know about that? It's probably just another one of my paranoid delusions.
I insist upon knowing why you implied that we are keeping a $400,000 slush fund.
Oh, God, I've done it now. Listen, I haven't told anybody, and I won't. What do I care what you guys do with your money? Bahama vacations, new sports cars, condominiums in Punta Gorda, whatever you guys think is best.
Tell me what it is you think you know.
I just accidentally one day ran across file number 31353 a few months ago. But I never told anybody about it, honest.
What is file number 31353?
Are you pulling my leg? You really don't know? Are you playing dumb?
Mr. Post...
All right. Yeah, let me take a look at your computer. Now, enter 4 to get us over to administration. Now, from here, we got only 2 choices. We can punch 1 for policy or 2 for accounts.
Yes.
What happens if you punch 3?
3 does not exist.
I know, but try it. What does the computer say if you punch 3?
3 does not exist.
Ah. But now enter 31353. How about that?
There's a file.
Sure is.
How did you find this?
By accident. I was just playing around. That's what I found.
By accident?
Yeah, by accident.
Do you know what the odds are against your finding a 5-number code by accident?
Sure. 1 in 100,000. If you only guess once. On the other hand, if you guess 100,000 times, the odds are much better.
When would you have time to try 100,000 different entries?
I get 2 15-minute breaks and a half hour for lunch.
And you have nothing better to do with your time than to check to see if we have any secret files in the computer?
You know, that came up earlier today. It would be real nice if we could get a ping pong table down there. I mean, we're men, not machines, right?
Nobody wants you to be machines. Mr. Post, how do you know that this is a slush fund?
Well, it probably isn't. Probably, I just made that part up. Probably this is just an arbitrary list of numbers which all have little dollar signs in front of them.
Well, I'll admit that this is odd, but it does seem to be something of a quantum leap to decide that this is a slush fund.
Right! I'm famous for making quantum leaps. It isn't labeled slush fund. It's probably nothing.
If they wanted to keep a slush fund, why would they enter it into the main computer at all? That doesn't make any sense. If this is supposed to be a secret, why wouldn't they keep their records on paper, locked away somewhere?
Another good point. Boy, you sure shot my theory full of holes. This is probably left over from the Christmas party when the execs got together to play Monopoly. Totally meaningless. And I'm very sorry if I questioned the ethics of your office. Can I go back to work now?
No.
Are you going to fire me?
What?
I'm going to be fired, aren't I? It's inevitable now, isn't it?
Why is it inevitable now?
Because I know too much. They're going to have to fire me in order to silence me.
Oh, good grief. Nobody is going to fire you in order to silence you. That's stupid. If there really is a slush fund, and I don't believe there is, by firing you, they'd be admitting guilt. They'd be inviting you to go to the Times. Don't you ever think things through before you start flying off the handle?
Not generally, no.
Well, I'm going to talk to Mr. Rejeski. I'm going to see if he knows about this file number 31353. And I want you to stay here in case he has any questions, okay? Just stay here. Don't move. I'll be right back. And don't touch anything while I'm out of the office.
Hi. And now let's take a brief pause here to kind of reconnoiter, eh?
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, online at kfai.org, radio without boundaries.
We now pause for technical difficulties.
You're listening to Sound Effects Radio Playground. KFAI Fresh Air Radio.
And now that we know where we are, let's get back to where we were going. I'm Jerry Stearns, and on Sound Effects, we're listening to The Bug. It's a stage play by Richard Strand, and it's adapted for audio by Plays on Tape and CD. Here is the conclusion of The Bug.
Boy, I wish I'd never started this. But at least I know they aren't going to fire me. Big deal. They aren't going to fire me from the world's most boring job. Because if they fired me, it wouldn't silence me. I could just call up Dan Rather and spill my guts, and they don't want me to do that. Oh my God! They're going to have me killed!
Hello?
Don't kill me! Please don't kill me! Oh, I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll go to St. Louis. I'll go to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. No one in Moose Jaw will care if I talk. Don't kill me!
Come over here. Sit down here. Here, in this chair next to my desk. You've made quite a mess of things here.
Yes, sir, I seem to have.
Yes, well, there's a reason we don't allow just anyone onto the carpet.
Would you like me to leave?
Sue, yes. I would like that very much.
I could leave now. Just tell me how far you want me to go.
Now, for the moment, I want you to stay where you are.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Miles tells me that you found something of a bug in our system.
Yes, well, no, well, listen, it's no big deal, really. See, what happened was, my name is Dennis Post,
and Mr. Post, I'm going to ask you some questions. I want you to answer them. That's all you have to do. Please do not extemporize. It annoys me.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Post, before you begin, let me warn you about one thing. I do not have a sense of humor.
I see.
I take my work very seriously. I don't joke around the way Ms. Taylor and Ms. Miles do.
You don't?
No, I don't.
I see.
I hope you do.
That's a shame, really.
Well, perhaps. Now, please, start from the beginning and tell me everything. Do you understand?
Yes.
I mean, do you understand what I mean by everything?
Yes, I think so.
Then go ahead.
Well, my father was a member of the Communist Party. Well, for that matter, so was my mother.
Mr. Post, perhaps I spoke too broadly when I used the word everything.
You're not really interested in hearing about my folks, are you?
No, I'm not. I want to hear about you.
Fine. That's fine. I can do that.
Then go ahead, please.
I was born on the lower floor of an apartment building my parents owned on Taylor. Now, the upper floor was rented out to an old guy who didn't wash very often, but he had a lot of young girlfriends that came to visit him.
Mr. Post.
This isn't what you wanted to hear either, is it?
No, it's not, Mr. Post. Actually, I know your story. I've heard it in detail from Ms. Miles. Are you sure you're not holding any other information from me, anything at all?
No, I told her pretty much everything.
Is it okay for us to come in?
Yes.
I told you pretty much everything, right?
That's what you said. Anything you want to add, Linda?
No, I told you everything he said.
Okay, it's settled then. If I could just go back to work...
Here at Jericho, we'd like to feel you're being cooperative with us.
I'm trying to be cooperative, really.
I understand.
Sometimes, though, I get rolling
don't,
and I...
Don't
what?
Don't get rolling, please.
Oh. Okay.
You respond poorly to commands. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I don't. Well, not really. Well, I'm a little slow sometimes, maybe. But I'm only human.
I see.
We're all only human, right?
Right.
God knows we can't be machines.
We can only aspire.
What?
What are you doing to your shoe?
Oh, there's something stuck in the sole. I think it's a tack.
A tack?
There, I got it out.
Why would there be a tack in this office? We don't use tacks.
I think it's an upholstery tack.
Oh. And Mr. Post...
In fact, I think it came out of your chair.
Perhaps. Mr. Post...
I can probably put it back.
No, don't do that. No, look, Mr. Post, Get off the floor. Would you leave the chair alone?
Probably from the seat.
Stop. Stop that. Now, get off your hands and knees.
Sometimes they just work their way loose.
Stop that. Now, stand up. Now.
Yes, sir.
Give me the tack. I'll put it in the drawer.
I don't have it anymore.
Well, where is it?
I put it back in your chair. I found where it went.
Oh.
You're welcome. Wait a minute. What was that in your drawer?
I don't know what you mean.
Was that a gun?
Oh, perhaps.
A real gun?
Probably.
You keep a gun in your desk?
Well, yes.
Look out! He's got a gun!
Mr. Post, stop it. Would you come back here?
Linda!
Put your hands down.
Linda, he's got a gun in his desk. Did you know that?
Come back here and sit down.
Kimberly, did you know he has a gun in his desk?
Would you stop making such a fuss? It's just a gun. I'm quite certain that it comes as no great surprise to either Ms. Taylor or Ms. Miles that I have a gun in my desk.
Actually, I didn't know you had a gun.
Mr. Post, there are going to be some rules from now on.
There are?
Rule number one is that you are going to remain in that chair until I tell you to get out of it. Do you understand?
Not really. I mean, I just saw a gun and I panicked a little, but I don't see why...
Please.
That is sure. I understand. You bet. Stay in the chair. No problem. If you want me in the chair, I'm going to stay right in the chair. You got the gun.
Yes. Good. Yeah. Now, rule number two is that you will only speak when responding to a direct question. And then you will answer that question quickly and with the fewest possible words. I don't want you to second guess why I'm asking these questions. I just want you to answer. Do you understand rule number two?
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yes. There. What is your name?
Dennis Post.
Where do you live?
3358 North Southport, Apartment 2B.
Where do you work?
Jericho Incorporated.
What do you do there?
I'm part of the Jericho team.
How many amps is 12 gauge wire rated for?
20.
What do you use red insulated wire for?
110 volts AC.
When do we use blue wire?
12 volts DC.
When do we use green?
For grounding.
When do we use puce?
When we're out of everything else.
Who is Douglas Cockrum?
No one knows, sir.
What is file 31353?
I don't know.
What do you think it is?
The record of a slush fund.
Why do you think it's a slush fund?
Because I'm a paranoid. I always make up mindless conspiracy theories based on virtually no evidence.
Oh. Dennis. Why would Jericho want a slush fund?
I don't know. Probably they wouldn't.
Well, why do you think Jericho might want a slush fund?
Oh, I don't know. To buy a senator?
Really? For $400,000? Senators cost more than that.
Maybe an alderman.
Well, aldermen don't cost that much.
Maybe they'd use the money to topple a government in a South American country that won't allow them to remove their capital without paying a huge amount in taxes.
What?
Did I say something?
What would make you say that?
I don't know. I don't think I did say it. What was it I said? See, I've forgotten already. Probably just more mindless paranoia.
Why would you specifically mention South America?
I don't know. Don't we have some offices in South
America?
We
have offices in a lot of places. St. Louis, for example, as you are so fond of reminding us.
Well, it just didn't seem real likely to me that anyone would spend $400,000 to topple the government in Missouri.
Mr. Post, you have an annoying habit of seeming to know more than you are saying. Do you know more than you are saying?
No, less. I swear, I did know.
Did know what?
About the assassination plot in South America.
What assassination plot?
There's more than one.
I didn't know there were any.
Then what are you getting paranoid about?
I'm not paranoid, you're paranoid.
Well, if I'm paranoid, what do you listen to me for?
You know, you very nearly caused me to lose my cool just now.
Sorry.
All right, it's all right. Of course, the whole notion of assassins in South America is ridiculous.
That's what I think.
You get carried away with your fantasies, and because you do have a certain amount of charm about you, others tend to get caught up with you.
Thank you. I think you're charming also.
Still, you can't really deny that something about this whole thing isn't quite right.
I guess.
There does seem to be a bit of a bug in the system. A rather large bug, it would seem. A large, multi-legged, venomous insect with huge mandibles and a stinger on its backside that leaks a trail of slime on everything it crawls over.
I just don't want to go to St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, yes. You mentioned that. Well, I imagine it's time we brought Mr. Kropp into this. Excuse me a moment.
Oh, my. It looks like I tacked your coat to your chair. Listen, I'm really sorry. Yeah, I was in a hurry. I didn't know your coat was in the way, honest. It looks to me like it took it out at the seam. Really, any tailor ought to be able to... Sorry.
Do not move from that chair again.
I won't.
Ever!
I won't.
I'm going to inform Mr. Kropp about our illustrious Mr. Cockrum. We'll talk about my coat later.
Yeah, great idea. Ask him why I hired Cockrum in the first place.
What did you say?
Well, I said, yeah, great idea. Ask him why I hired Cockrum in the first place. No big deal, you know.
Mr. Kropp hired Cockrum?
Oh, yeah, did I leave that part out?
So what are you suggesting?
Nothing.
Are you suggesting that Mr. Kropp is part of this conspiracy of yours?
No! I'm sure he has a perfectly wonderful explanation for the whole thing.
Are you suggesting that Mr. Kropp has something to hide?
Not at all. Look, he probably wants this whole thing out in the open. He's probably dying to talk about why he hired a guy who, as far as anyone can tell, doesn't exist.
Ms. Miles, who hired Douglas Cockrum?
Apparently Mr. Kropp did.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yes, that doesn't mean there's any hanky-panky going on.
You got me convinced. If I were you, I'd go blow the whistle on Cockrum.
Yes, Mr. Post.
Sir.
The mere fact that Mr. Kropp hired Mr. Cockrum does not in any way suggest that Mr. Kropp is involved in any misbehavior.
I agree.
Indeed. Mr. Kropp has doubtless hired scores of people in his tenure as president, as I am sure Ms. Miles can attest.
This is the only one I know of.
The only one. Are you sure? The only one?
Maybe not the only one, but it is unusual.
Well, unusual perhaps, but as I'm sure Miss Taylor can attest, not unheard of.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, indeed. Miss Taylor has never heard of it, but as I am sure Miss Taylor will be the first to admit, she does not hear everything.
Almost everything.
Well, perhaps, but I can attest to the man's character. No man in all of business has more character than Mark Kropp. And I am sure that if something is not right with Jericho Incorporated, Mr. Kropp is no part of it and will wish to be informed immediately.
Great! No, that's what I was hoping for. Listen, while you're in there, could you ask him about St. Louis?
People who are themselves of low character tend to believe the worst about other people. They project their own greed and cowardice and lack of moral fiber on men whose character is unassailable. Now, this does not speak poorly of the accused. It is an indictment of the accuser.
Right on. Are you going to talk to him sometime today?
Let me think for a moment. Very well, Mr. Post. Thank you for bringing this matter to our attention. I promise you that we will look into it with deliberate speed and in a thorough manner.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. You may get out of the chair now.
You're not going to talk to Mr. Kropp?
Well, Mr. Kropp is a very busy man. I don't wish to bother him with this.
How would it be if I went to talk to him? Just about St. Louis. I won't even mention the other stuff.
No, out of the question, I'm afraid.
Can I assume that I'm not going to be sent to St. Louis?
Well, I don't know that.
Don't know? Well, can you tell me if they're going to fire me?
I just don't have anything to say on that topic. I can't promise you anything. Well,
can you at least promise me that I'm not going to be hit by one of your assassination squads?
Mr. Post, I'm not going to dignify that question with a response.
That's it, isn't it? You're going to have me killed, aren't you?
Now, Mr. Post, you don't really believe that...
Who doesn't believe? I believe it. I think that's what you were doing on the computer just now. I think you just sent out a secret order to have me killed. I think that I won't last 2 seconds in that hallway. I think they're lined up with machine guns ready to nail the first poor slob who steps out that door.
Well, I'm not even going to discuss anything as ridiculous as that.
Yeah? Well, I'm not walking through that door.
Oh, yes, you are. You are going to leave this office at once. Go back to assembly where you belong.
You want me to go back to assembly?
Fervently.
Then you walk through that door first.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I dare you.
Well, if it'll make you feel better, Miss Taylor will be glad to go out in the hall and let you know that the coast is clear.
You guys, cut it out, okay? This stuff really scares me.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
Oh, God.
Kimberly, please stop whimpering. Miss Taylor does not share your deluded view of this world, Mr. Post. She isn't afraid that overzealous maniacs with machine guns are going to cut her down as soon as she steps out into the hall. Miss Taylor, Would you please just step outside and reassure Mr. Post that there are no hit squads out there?
Do I have to?
Linda!
Yes?
What are you implying?
Nothing, only if I don't have to go out in the hall, I'd rather not.
Do you really think there are armed private soldiers out there?
Well, no.
Do you believe that I could be responsible for an assassination plot?
Well, no, I guess I could check.
Linda, be careful. Oh, God, oh,
Mr.
God,
Post,
oh, God.
What are you doing? Get out of my door.
Get back. Everybody get back. Okay, now I've got the gun.
Oh, God. Would you put that gun down?
What kind of man are you? You would allow this woman to walk into an ambush just to avoid losing an argument with me?
Oh, God, oh, God.
Would you put that gun down?
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Give me the gun.
Dennis, don't do this.
Stay back. I'll shoot.
No. No, I don't think you will, Dennis.
No, I will, honest.
David.
I just don't believe you anymore, Dennis.
What are you, mental? A crazy paranoid like me says he's going to shoot you, and you don't believe him? What's wrong with your head?
I just don't think you're going to shoot me.
Oh, you don't, huh? Well, what are you going to do if you're wrong?
Just give me the gun.
Not until we straighten a couple things out.
We are not going to straighten anything out until you give me that gun. Now, I make it a rule not to negotiate with people who point guns at me.
Has that rule come up a lot?
If you want to talk, we can talk. But first you will give me that gun.
Well, I'm not giving you the gun. You think I'm stupid? We've already established that you've hired a hit squad to off me. You think I'm just going to give you a gun?
If you wish to talk with me, you will simply have to give me that gun. That's all there is to it.
Oh, yeah? How about if I just blow up this computer on Linda's desk? Now, nobody moves, or I'll blow his head off.
Oh, stand back, everybody. I don't think he's bluffing this time.
My God.
Okay, what is it you want?
Is she all right?
I think Kim fainted.
Tell us what you want.
Yes, tell us what you want, Dennis. Don't shoot the computer.
Don't you think you ought to make sure she's okay?
Tell us what you want.
Okay. Boy, this guy loves to yell.
He doesn't mean to yell, but there's no point in shooting the computer, Dennis, really.
Oh, I won't really shoot it.
You hear, Mr. Rejeski? He won't really shoot it.
And you believe him.
All right, Rejeski, here it is. I want you to promise me that I won't be shipped to St. Louis.
Fine. I promise. You won't be shipped to St. Louis.
And I'm not going to be fired.
I promise you won't be fired.
And promise me that you won't have me killed.
Oh, I promise I won't have you killed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what good is a promise from somebody that would hire a hit squad in the first place?
No good, Mr. Post. Absolutely no good at all. So what are you going to do about it?
Huh?
Sooner or later, you're going to have to go out that door. Sooner or later, you will have to face 7 mindless assassins who are poised and waiting for you to step through that door. There's no other way out.
David?
Stay away from that door.
You can shoot the computer, but then what can you do? Sooner or later, my boys, I like to think of them as my boys, are going to get you. They are just waiting for my command, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, this is clever of you. Feed my fantasy. That'll calm me down.
There's nothing to be calm about. You're a goner already.
David!
All right, that's enough.
In fact, there's one of my boys now!
What?
Give me the gun! Give me my gun! You want a gun? Get your own
gun! Give
it to me!
I want this gun!
But this is my gun! My gun!
Hey, careful! Don't squeeze my hand! See what you made me do?
Give me that gun!
You're crazy! You know that? You're really crazy!
Hello? Anybody out there? Hello? Hello?
It's the intercom. It's Mr. Krupp.
I know. Hello?
David?
Yes, sir.
This is Mr. Krupp.
Yes, sir, I know.
Say, what's going on out there?
Well, we're being held at gunpoint, sir.
I see. Anyone hurt?
Kim, are you okay?
My God.
She's okay.
Everyone's fine, Mr. Krupp.
Good. Glad to hear it. Say, what does this fellow with a gun want?
Well, sir, he says he doesn't want to go to St. Louis.
I see. I can't blame him for that. Ever been to St. Louis, David?
No, sir.
Ah. That's probably why you didn't laugh.
Oh, perhaps, sir.
Why did this fellow with a gun come up here?
Well, it's complicated, sir. I think he wants to talk to you.
To me?
Yes, sir.
Well, send him in.
What?
I said, Send him in.
Well, yes, sir. Mr. Kropp will see you now.
Great! I'm sure we can straighten this thing out in no time. How do I look?
Fine.
Linda?
You do. You look fine.
Well, here it goes. Here, David, you take the gun, will you? I don't want the boss to think I'm nuts. Linda?
Yes?
A kiss? For luck?
Well, I... Oh. Maybe he will be sent to St. Louis. Maybe that would be best. I don't think he's happy here, not really.
I hate him.
I don't hate him. I feel sorry for him. He seems sort of lonely.
Yeah, like a little lost tarantula.
Actually, I hope they do transfer him, for his sake.
I hope they fire him.
I hope they kill him. I don't mean that literally, of course. Metaphorically, I hope they kill him. Symbolically, figuratively. I hope they figuratively kill him, for his sake, you know?
I wish I knew what was going on in there.
My computer exploded. Can you look up something on yours?
Mine exploded, too.
Oh, mine still works.
Try calling up account file 31353.
31353 does not exist.
Are you sure those are the right numbers?
Pretty sure, and there's nothing there?
I'm not finding it.
Try calling up Douglas Cockrum's personnel file.
Douglas Cockrum does not exist. It's all been purged.
Maybe it got purged when the computers exploded.
Or maybe somebody purged them.
Oh, really, Linda? More conspiracy theories? He's only been in there a minute.
Okay, look up Dennis Post's personnel file. See if that's still there.
Oh, dear God.
David?
Oh, my.
Did they transfer him? They fired him, didn't they?
Worse.
You mean they've had him...
Promoted.
Promoted?
He's in charge of assembly. He's got Cockrum's old job.
David, when's the last time you actually saw Mr. Kropp?
What do you mean?
I mean, I've never seen him. I talked to him on this little box, but I've never actually seen him. And Kim, you don't go in there, do you?
No.
David, you're the only one that actually goes into his office. So what I'm asking is, when you go in there, do you actually see him? When's the last time you actually saw Mr. Kropp? When's the last time anybody actually saw Mr. Kropp?
David?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything else I need to take care of?
No.
No.
Well, then, can we get back to work, please?
Of course. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
The Bug. By Richard Strand, directed by Daniel T. Green. The cast included G. Charles Wright as Dennis, Mary Beth Scheer as Linda, Caroline Kerrigan as Kimberly, Dan Cashman as David, and Paul Purnell as Mr. Kropp. Audio mix by Bob Lazo. This has been a Plays On Tape and Plays On CD production.
Ladies and gentlemen, direct from ZBS, this is the Android Sisters.
Yeah, question is, do androids dream of electric sheep?
Do androids dream of electric sheep? Electronic media creates reality. Electronic media creates your mind. Do androids dream of electronic sheep? This is Angel.
This is Angel.
We are the Android Sisters. Last night I watched the nightly news.
Last night I watched the nightly news.
Do you watch the nightly news? Do you watch it faithfully? Night after night after night. I watch it. I watch it. We watch the nightly news. But last night was different. Something happened. As I watched, I suddenly saw that my hands had become little hooves. My feet were
nose was long. My nostrils were big. I had two furry ears. I was covered with wool. When I opened my mouth, out came ba ba. And the anchorman was saying blah blah. And I replied ba ba. And the anchor woman was saying blah blah. And I replied ba ba. Then I remembered. Electronic media creates reality. Electronic media creates your mind. Do you watch the nightly news? Do you watch it faithfully? Night after night after. When they go blah, 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 do you go ba, ba, ba? And you have the nerve to ask us, do androids dream of electronic sheep? And so we reply, yes, we dream of electronic sheep. We dream of you.
A speak song from the Android Sisters album Songs of Electronic Despair on the ZBS label. You can find more of those at zbs.org, and many of them are available on YouTube. And before that, we heard the rest of The Bug, a play by Richard Strand. It was produced for plays on CD or tape, and it's not new, so it's hard to find. But it is available out there somewhere. Well, I'm Jerry Stearns, and you've been listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground. Every Sunday night, we do modern audio theater on the radio. I hope you'll join us again next week for more of the best. And right now, you can stick around for Abby's Room for One, because it's there when you need it. Join us again next week for more modern audio theater and comedy on Sound Effects, a radio playground, here on Fresh Air Radio.
Support for KFAI comes from The Wienery, proudly serving Chicago-style hot dogs, vegan dogs, and hand-cut french fries, with love on the West Bank for over 40 years.
Support for KFAI comes in part from First Avenue, presenting Pole String at the 7th Street Entry, Saturday, July 11th. Minneapolis-owned Pole String takes the 7th Street Entry stage to release their latest EP, Growing Pains. Midwest Britpop, alt-rock, pop-punk in denial, Pole String channels the energy of the 90s and early 2000s, paying homage to influences like Green Day and The Replacements. Opening the show are The Dalmatian Club, Call Me Fritz, and Syncline. More information about Pole String's Growing Pains EP release show at the 7th Street Entry is available at first-avenue.com.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAI program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.
You can't always get what you want, but you try sometimes. You get what you need.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, going out to the stratosphere, or on the web at www.kfai.org, where you can catch this train wreck for the next 2 weeks. It's archived. This is Abby's Room for One Radio. You're at the end of your week. or the beginning of the next one, or somewhere in the middle, because our work weeks never end. But rock, well, that never dies. Here's some stuff. She hasn't got a heart and she hasn't got a soul. Said that she is not the hell of one. But I'm a rebel leader, but I never could retrieve her. If he had come a little by now. But when the time has come to go, I truly lost my dad. I'm all for it, going to a growing door. There's only room for one. There's only room for one. There's only room for one. And it's always her.